Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to start our program today by talking with you about the resurgence of artisan cheeses in Wisconsin with Jeannie Carpenter of Oregon, Wisconsin. She's been blogging about cheese for the past 3 years. She's launched an organization called Wisconsin Cheese Originals. And we'll tell you where to find her blog and where to find her organization's website as well as we move along here today. But really looking forward to talking about cheeses. I wish you could, you know, you can't smell. The smells on radio just don't work very well. But there are some nice smells, aromas of cheeses here in the studios. And probably I'll have a chance to sample one or two, and I wish you could be here to sample them with me. You may have a question about artisan cheeses. What do you like? How do you pair them with food? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'd love to hear from you. So shoot us an email, give us a call. Jeannie Carpenter, welcome.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. How'd you get so interested in cheese? My goodness.
Well, that's actually a pretty short story. I suppose a lot of people have a long history with their subjects, but I actually didn't get really involved into cheese until about 2003.
Okay.
Got called into a meeting with a group called the Dairy Business Innovation Center. They knew about my communications background, wanted to know if I would be interested in helping them promote artisan cheese. And my first question was, what is artisan cheese? But in my defense, 6 years ago, there wasn't a lot of artisan cheese being made in Wisconsin. You know, I grew up on a farm, and we had Velveeta in the fridge. I grew up on a farm in Wisconsin, by the way, and we still ate Velveeta. So I didn't get really involved in cheese until about 2003. But since then, there's a lot to talk about.
Well, what is an artisan cheese then?
That's a great question. Everyone wants to know what the definition of that is. An artisan cheese is a cheese that's made primarily by hand in limited small batches. And quite often the cheesemaker will be familiar with the milk that they're using. Either they're milking their own herd of cows, goat, or sheep and making into cheese, or they know where that milk came from. So you have a great relationship between the dairy farmer, the cheesemaker, and that almost always results in pretty amazing cheese.
Yeah, and we have some amazing artisan cheesemakers here in Wisconsin.
We do. We're up to what I would call, for true artisan cheesemakers, we have about 23. Mm-hmm. When you add farmstead and specialty on that, we're up to about 55. Mm-hmm. When the DBIC partnered with Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board for the first time in 2004 to do a directory of these dairy folks, we had about 25 in that directory. We just got done doing the 2009 version. We have got 63. So it's been really cool to watch that directory grow in size.
Well, now, what's this organization, Wisconsin Cheese Originals, all about?
Sure. That's a brand new trade organization that I launched in March. Other states have cheese guilds, they have cheese festivals, and here in Wisconsin, we have some cheese festivals, but they're primarily about eating, you know, deep fried cheese curds. Mm-hmm. A great example would be Monroe Cheese Days. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been to that every other year since I was a kid. But in the last 5-6 years, I've watched and I've actually attended other state cheese festivals where they've had cheese organizations, where you have speakers come in, talk about the different artisan cheeses. You have cheesemakers come in, you get to sample these cheeses. And I just thought, why aren't we doing that in Wisconsin? So I said, hey, I could do that.
You can do that, and you're doing it. And the blog, and before we go to the phones, and the blog is really fun to read. You know, you talk about making cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the blog started out as my creative outlet. I've been doing that about 3.5 years ago. It's the one thing that I don't get paid for. It's my fun thing to do.
Well, and cheese making is hard work, as you found out.
It is. I was actually just making cheese yesterday with Bruce Workman in Monticello, Wisconsin, and he hit it on the head. He said, you know, you have somebody come into this cheese factory and make cheese with you for a day, and they get a whole new appreciation of what is involved. Cheese is heavy, it's wet, it's gooey, you're working in a sauna.
Yeah.
There's a reason cheesemakers all look young, because they work in a sauna all day long.
Oh, boy. Well, Chris in Green Bay has a question or comment, so let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I have a little bit of a strange question. We really like Indian foods in our house, and my wife has sent me out to go find a paneer or a substitute for paneer, and I'm just looking for some direction in terms of maybe a good substitution, or maybe even if there's producers here in Wisconsin, and I'll take my phone call off the air.
And you're talking about India Indians, right?
Right, correct.
Yes, correct. Right. Okay.
I actually had a chance to go to India for 18 days a year ago in January with the Leadership Wisconsin Group, and ate a lot of really amazing paneer over there. There is one company in Wisconsin making paneer, Specialty Cheese of Wisconsin. They're making that and selling it all over the country. But what I think is probably would be another thing to use would be a feta, and especially a sheep's milk feta, which is going to be a little bit sweeter. The texture is going to be a little bit, it's going to hold together a little bit more for you. And a person making a good sheep's milk feta right now is Brenda Jensen at Hidden Springs Creamery in Westby. And you can get that product at cut-to-order cheese shops in Wisconsin.
Hidden Springs Creamery?
Yes, in Westby.
But the paneer from is who makes it?
Specialty Cheese, Wisconsin.
Specialty Cheese.
Cheesemaker is Paul Sharfman. He's making a paneer.
All right. So there you have it. If you'd like to join in with a question or comment, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. How does a person get to be an artisan cheesemaker? I mean, is there some sort of education process, I assume, that goes on?
Sure, there is. The state of Wisconsin is the only state in the nation that requires a cheesemaker to be licensed. We started that back in the 50s, and with good reason, because when you're making cheese, it's a combination of science and art, and you really have to know what you're doing so that you're not getting, you know, bad pathogens, bacteria into the cheese. And so I'm a big fan of licensing our cheesemakers. To be a cheesemaker in Wisconsin takes about 18 months. You have to take 5 courses through the university. They're offered at the UW-Madison, UW River Falls. And then you have to apprentice 240 working hours with another licensed cheesemaker in a cheese plant. And then you have to take the test. It's a written test.
Okay. And so then you become a cheesemaker.
Yes.
And an artisan cheesemaker, is it?
That's a little bit, I would say that's probably like another step. There's no license for an artisan cheesemaker, but the cheesemakers who start making what I would call funky, complex cheeses are the folks more on the creative spectrum of cheesemaking.
Sure.
And quite often their background isn't in cheesemaking or dairy. They're coming from something completely different. Maybe it's a retirement project or a second or third career. And they start thinking, what if? You know, what if I aged cheese in a cave? What if I added something cool to it? You know, what if I combined goat cheese or goat milk and sheep milk and made a cheese? So it's those are the cheesemakers that are come. I call them almost the next generation, not in age, related to age, but really related to creativity. We have this new generation of cheesemakers in Wisconsin. That's so exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool. Carl in Peshtigo is up next. Carl, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. In regards to the Cheese Expo of Wisconsin, who took the grand champion of cheese?
Are we talking about the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest that was held in Green Bay in March?
Yes.
Sure. The grand champion was Sarvecchio, a wonderful Parmesan-type cheese. That cheese has been, you know, making the rounds in Wisconsin for years and years, and it was nice to finally see it win a major award.
Excellent. Another thing is, what does Wisconsin get notoriety for the most cheese it makes in the United States?
We are the top cheesemaker in the United States. California is number 2. There's been talk for years that California is going to pass us. But if you look at the stats, Wisconsin keeps making more cheese, and actually California is starting to make less. I think that can probably be explained by this resurgence of smaller to medium-sized cheesemakers in Wisconsin. We have more people making cheese. You know, there's one cheese plant in California can make, 10 million pounds, but we might have 50 smaller cheesemakers making, that same amount. And we're making some really, they're different artisan, they're not commodity cheeses. And I think those are way more interesting.
What variety of cheese from Wisconsin? I see it on the, I think on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, in regards, what variety of cheese does Wisconsin produce, and it gets probably throughout the United States and possibly a lot of the world?
Well, we're always renowned for our cheddar. I don't think that's ever going to go away. Cheddar traditionally was a commodity product in Wisconsin, but now Wisconsin cheddar makers are really moving towards adding value to their cheddar cheeses. They're aging them, they're bandaging them, they're making them with seasonal milk. And so we're constantly adding value to our cheeses to compete against those big commodity plants.
Excellent.
Yeah, but Wisconsin cheddar probably still rules.
Yeah. Next question. How does mozzarella fit into the amount of cheese that Wisconsin makes?
Mozzarella cheese, Wisconsin makes a lot of mozzarella cheese. Of the commodity plants that we have going in Wisconsin, and I can't stress their importance because they're a big cash cow to the state, a lot of them are making mozzarella. And that, and the majority of mozzarella cheese being made right now in the United States is going to pizza. It's going to shredded pizza because we Americans apparently
eat a lot
love
of
our
pizza.
I want to clarify one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Seasonal cheese, in regards to the old cheese, when cows used to go out on green grass, was there a difference in the quality of cheese?
I don't know about quality, but there's definitely a difference in taste. I've had, what I would call seasonal cheese, which is the cheese made from the milk of cows who are grazing on lush grass, versus a cheese that was made using conventional milk, cows that are eating...
silage?
Yeah, the silage. Still a good product. But I found that the flavors in those seasonal grass-based cheeses are more complex. You get a little bit more earthy, grassy flavor. And I don't know if they're better for you, but they taste different.
They taste different.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
You asked some great questions, Carl. Thanks.
You bet.
I appreciate the call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 as we talk about artisan cheeses in Wisconsin with J.D. Carpenter of Oregon, Wisconsin, has launched the organization called Wisconsin Cheese Originals. And, by the way, just go to their website. It's wisconsincheeseoriginals.com. And she also has a great blog that she just does for fun, and it really is a lot of fun. It's go to cheeseunderground.com, cheeseunderground.com. You can do it while you're listening to her talk and learn a little bit more about what she's up to and about our cheeses here in the state. And, of course, again, join us. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're listening to the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here with Jeannie Carpenter of Oregon as we talk with her about artisan cheeses. And I'm just chuckling because the cheese aromas here are so good. And I want to just launch into those cheeses that she brought. But I'll save myself for at least one or two more questions here before I pipe in. Some Avery wonders if you could pick one artisan cheese for everyone to try, what would it be?
I wonder if this is perhaps my daughter, whose name is Avery. Gee, thanks, honey, for calling in. at least she asked me a nice question. That was good. Gosh, one artisan cheese. Well, I'll tell you what my favorite cheese, varies, but I always like to talk about new cheeses. My favorite new cheese is called Dunbarton Blue. It's made by Chris Raleigh at Raleigh Cheese in Schulzburg, Wisconsin. It's a cheddar-style cheese inoculated with blue. It's got the texture of a cheddar, but the flavor of a blue. And he's cave-aging it, and it's just amazing. He launched that product back in December. And I told him the first time I tasted that, this is going to be huge, Chris. He wasn't sure. This was a big risk for him. This is a plant that traditionally made more commodity-type cheeses, and they switched into more specialty cheeses. This was really the first artisan cheese that he had made, and he's currently sold out. He's taking orders.
That's one of those three. And Raleigh is spelled?
R-O-E-L-L-I.
R-O-E-L-L-I. I wanted to get that spelling in because it's different from how it might sound.
Exactly.
Well, so there you have it, Raleigh cheese. But you're going to have to wait in line with everybody else.
Exactly, yeah. But good cheese is worth waiting for.
Daniel in La Crosse, on to you now. Hi.
Hi, Hi.
What can we do for you?
I just really got into cheese myself. I'm 20 years old. I just love it. Just wondering, what are some good places to buy cheese? I'm from the La Crosse, Wisconsin area.
That's a great question. You know, Wisconsin has been known for years for our roadside cheese shops, and we've got tons of those. But
yeah.
with the rise of artisan cheesemakers, we've also had this rise of what I would call artisan cut and order cheese shops. And let's see, real quickly around the state. A brand new one just opening this week, south of Eau Claire, called the Foster Cheese House. The folks who run Castle Rock Organic Dairy and some partners have opened that. That's going to be great. That's at the off the Foster exit off I-94. In Madison, we have Fromagination, been open 2 years, a great mm-hmm. cut-to-order artisan cheese shop. In the Milwaukee area, Brown Deer, Larry's Cheese, Steve Ehlers and his sister Patty do a great job there. And then in Green Bay, there's one called Nala's Fromagerie. Owner is Alan Trick, and he has a really nice little cut-to-order cheese shop.
Now, you didn't mention La Crosse.
I did mention La Crosse because I can't think of a real cut-to-order artisan cheese shop there. But the beauty of a lot of these artisan cheeses is that the cheesemakers have figured out that sometimes they can cut the middleman by selling cheese online. And so if you Google a cheesemaker that you like and find their website, chances are that they're probably selling their product online.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, come to think of it, I can't think of any places in town in La Crosse that really sell the good artisan cheese, but my girlfriend and I really get cravings every once in a while, and we'll travel to Westby just to get some.
Good for you. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate the call. And let's go to Ines in Island Lake, Illinois. Hello to you.
Hi, thanks. I was wondering, I'm a big fan of a Danish cheese grouping called Danbo. And every time I am lucky enough to get to Denmark, I seem to wander to the shop and buy some Danbo cheese, and the guy behind the counter is always really sweet, and he has medium and very stronger or more robust cheese. But I don't like, that seems to be a long way to go for cheese. And so having just turned this on and heard a whole discussion on Wisconsin cheese, and I live just a few miles south of your border, is there anything in Wisconsin that might sort of come to this? I know the cheese guy at the store in Denmark says a lot of people don't like our cheeses because they taste too much like cow. And it's an interesting thought, but when I brought some back, it definitely has a different taste. I like the taste. So any recommendations?
There's, you know, I can recommend a great Danish-style blue. There's a company in Seymour, Wisconsin, called Seymour Dairy Products.
Uh-huh.
They launched 4 artisan blues a couple years ago. They have a German-style, a Danish-style, a couple other ones. But their Danish style is called Blue Crest. It's a whole milk, cow's milk blue. And I bet you would like that. It's really reminiscent of the authentic Danish cheeses.
Okay, terrific. Well, thank you so much.
All right, thanks so much about calling. And Marty in Hubertus, on to you. Hi, Marty.
Hi. I got into a discussion with a friend who grew up in New York, and I grew up in Wisconsin, about the color of cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
And she grew up with white cheddar. I grew up with yellow. And she said, Wisconsin colors their cheddar, and it isn't any good. And my reaction was, I like it fine. I like a white, too. But I wondered what the story was with the different colors of cheddar.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, the history of the color is actually secondary to really the history of the different cheddars across the United States. And you're right, they do taste differently. Some people like Vermont cheddar better. Some people like New York cheddar. Some people like Wisconsin cheddar. Some people like California cheddar. And there's a reason for that, because they actually taste differently. It comes down to the terroir of where cheese is made, the grasses that those cows are eating. In Wisconsin, we have a really authentic a situation where our soils are naturally sweet. Our soils are filtered with limestone, filtered water, which makes the soil sweet, which produces naturally sweet grass. And so the cheddar and a lot of the cheeses that we make in Wisconsin taste a little bit sweeter than like a Vermont cheddar, which I find almost sour. But it's, you know, it's a difference in the terroir. The color of the cheeses, you know, I have actually researched that, and I have not found you know, the official story. But the color of Wisconsin cheeses has been typically orange. And by the way, that the orange color makes absolutely no difference in the taste. It's just a it's a coloring. It's from the annatto seed, A-N-N-A-T-T-O. It's a flavorless seed that makes it orange. And I've had a few folks tell me, you know, historians in Wisconsin, that the people making cheddar cheese in Wisconsin wanted to actually differentiate their cheddar from the stuff making New York, Vermont. So they started coloring it orange so that when you bought Wisconsin cheddar, you knew it had been made in Wisconsin because it was orange. So it was
that
almost a it was a marketing scheme. That's the most official explanation I've been able to find.
There you have it, Marty. Thanks for calling. Someone else for our La Crosse caller who called a couple of calls ago, someone phoned in and said, in the La Crosse area, you could look for Car Valley Cheese Outlets.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Car Valley is a great artisan cheese maker. The cheesemaker is Sid Cook. He's a master cheesemaker. Sid actually has 7 different retail stores around southwest Wisconsin where he sells his cheese. He makes 80 different kinds of cheeses. 50 of them are American originals, meaning he simply made them up. And so he sells all of his cheeses, obviously, at his outlets. And then he does sell other cheesemakers there, too.
And Carr is spelled C-A-R-R, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So Carr Valley. And he's won some...
Sid wins. Sid cleans up at every competition he enters. At the American Cheese Society, we always tell him that he needs to sit close to the stage because he usually goes up about 20 times. But he's a real modest guy. He sits in the back and has a quiet profile, but he makes some pretty good cheese.
Really good cheese. Car Valley. Jim in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Great
show. Thank
you. I have a kind of a science question. You mentioned earlier that there's kind of a blend between an art and a science in making cheese. To what extent is cheese actually mold? And what role does mold play in cheese? And then sometimes if I let a block of cheddar sit in my refrigerator long enough, I'll see some blue mold growing on it. Is that safe to just cut off and finish the cheese, or what role does that mold play?
Yeah, that's a great question. We always have to remember that cheese is a living thing. It's a living organism, and anything that's living will keep on living. Mm-hmm. And cheese expresses that by getting moldy. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with mold on a cheese. If you have a wedge in your fridge and it's developing a mold, just scrape it off.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's as easy as scraping the surface. Sometimes you have to go down a little bit deeper, but don't throw the whole block of cheese away. Just scrape that off. And the blue in the cheddar is a really great question. That's a type of a mold, and the cheddar maybe that you have might be maybe not pressed as much, and sometimes the mold is getting down into those crevices. I know people who love that flavor of those blue veins in cheddar. The traditional English style of cheddar, actually, if they don't have those blue veins of mold in them, they're considered defects. So the English love blue-veined cheddar. It's your choice to eat it or not. It's definitely not going to hurt you. It's going to have a little bit different taste. It's definitely going to have a kick to it. But if you don't like that, just cut it out.
Is a block of cheese essentially a block of mold?
Oh, no. Cheese, no. Cheese is milk, cultures, rennet, and salt, primarily.
Ah.
It's milk. The mold, you know, can grow on the outside. Some cheesemakers actually encourage that. You know, sometimes when you're cave aging a cheese, you are actually controlling the type of mold that grows on the outside, and that affects the flavor. So...
Ah.
Mold can actually be a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Jane in Mazamani, we'll turn to you. Hold on a second here, Jane. We'll get you on. Hi, Jane. Thank you for calling.
Well, Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
And it's Jane of Mayville, if that's okay.
Oh, Mayville? Okay.
That's amazing. But I had an answer. I heard the request for a especially an artisan cheese outlet in La Crosse.
Yes.
And there is the People's Food Co-op in downtown at 315 Fifth Avenue that does a nice job presenting cheeses.
All right. People's Food Co-op.
Yes.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Jane.
You're welcome now. Bye-bye.
Bye. Appreciate the call. And Jennifer in Madison, we're on to you. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Larry. Jeannie, this might be a silly question, but I'm wondering if you can recommend kind of a systematic approach to learning about cheese, because what I do, I love cheese, and I'll go and buy like five different kinds and taste them all and have them out at a party, and then I get confused about like, oh, which one did I like better and which one is related to what? And you just mentioned that Dunbarton Blue.
Mm-hmm.
I had that recently. Loved it, but I know there was a blue I had not that long ago that I liked even more, and darned if I can remember what it was.
So that's actually a great question, and if you think that's a silly question, I have a silly answer. I actually keep a cheese journal because I obviously taste lots and lots of different cheeses, and I keep this little black book with me. It lists the name of the cheese, who made it, and what it tasted like, the flavor profile. A great way to, you know, a systematic way of learning about cheese is to visit a cut-to-order cheese shop and just start sampling cheeses. Tell them, first of all, what kind of cheeses that you like, and they'll start with those. And then, you know, start writing down what you like, what you don't like. Everybody likes a different style of cheese. It's just a matter of kind of writing it down and figuring it out. And reading, of course. There's lots of great cheese books out there. I don't really like the technical ones, the how to make cheese ones. I like the ones that are more written by like Laura Werlin, those types where they list out, you know, there's eight specific categories of cheese. And those can be helpful when you're trying to figure out, why don't I like this cheese?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay. When you say eight categories, do you mean like cheddar, blue, Swiss?
No, I'm talking like soft, semi-soft, hard, semi-hard, blooming, rind, blue, those kinds of categories.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Well, speaking about learning about cheeses, you brought some cheeses here, and what did you bring for us today to talk about?
Sure, I actually brought two different types of cheeses. The first one I think we'll try is a raw milk bandaged cheddar being made by Willie Lehner of Bluemont Dairy. Bought this at the farmer's market in Madison on Saturday, and the reason I like this cheese and the reason I like Willie Lehner is because he is one of those what if guys. You know, what if I take some soil from my land and mix it with some bee linens, Brechtia Bavarian linens, and I wash my cheese with that? Will the taste of the soil, the terroir, actually impart to the cheese?
Oh.
And the answer is yes, because Willie's actually doing that. He's doing really cool things. The cheese that I brought today is it's a cheddar about 18 months old. It's not orange.
No.
It's a golden yellow color. It's and the reason
almost like a block of Parmesan.
Yeah.
Or something.
And the reason it's this color is because it's made using milk from grass-fed cows, and so it imparts this real natural golden hue.
Yeah.
And also it's a bandaged cheddar. How that is different. Instead of being aged in a real cold, like a cooler environment, Willie bandages it with actual cloth, and then he's aging it in an underground cave on his farm. So at about 18 months, this cheese, I think, has as much flavor as like, a 5 or 6 year old cheddar that's been aged in a cooler. So, it's a funky cheese. It tastes good. It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah. Also a cheddar here, Larry, I'll let you try it. Often too, people ask me in aged cheddar, they say, well, you know, when I eat this, sometimes there's this crunch. And I don't know what that is. Is that bad? You know, what should I be doing about that crunch? And all that is that's calcium lactate crystals coming to the surface. And that's in a cheddar. In a different style cheese, like a Parmesan or a Grana cheese, those are actually protein crystals forming. Either way, I love those crystals. They're like little bites of heaven.
Mm. Boy, this is wonderful
yeah.
cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and so Willie's from Bluemont Dairy. He comes from a cheese making background. His father is Swiss. He has a brother Hans making cheese at Forgotten Valley. So it's definitely a cheese making family. But Willie's really one of those what if guys, and that's why I like his cheeses.
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm almost speechless. Mark in Wisconsin Dells, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was raised on Colby cheese, and mm-hmm. it seems like the Colby cheese that you buy in the store is becoming more and more cheddar-like. And I was just wondering if you could recommend any cheesemakers who've been recognized for their Colby, because it doesn't seem like you can get that true Colby anymore.
Yeah, the standards for Colby were changed. A true Colby has a little bit more open of a texture, whereas a cheddar is, you know, real dense.
Right.
The traditional Colby was more open and often creamier and just had a little bit different taste. And the standards for Colby got changed. That'd be a question for the Center for Dairy Research. But therefore, you have a lot of Colbys that taste like pretty mild cheddar. A true Colby.
Yeah, it's got that kind of pungent, almost dry flavor.
You know who's making a good Colby is and this is from my daughter. My daughter won't eat any Colby unless it's from Bronco Cheese in Darlington. And that's a great story. That's a 100-year-old dairy plant that were making commodity cheeses. They were making cheddars and Colbys for 100 years, and then they got tired of making 1 or 2 cents on the pound, which is what they were making. And so now, about 3 years ago, they launched this new artisan style cheeses called Fayette Creamery, and they're English style cheeses. They're making a bandage wrapped cheddar like Willie, but. This plant has been around so long, and the cheesemakers, Carl and Mary Geisbühler, have been doing it so long. They're still making that traditional Colby. And frankly, that's the only Colby my daughter will eat.
Okay, there you have it. Well, you brought another cheese as well.
I did, yes. And this is another great story. This is a blue cheese, and we're trying this one second for a reason, because blue cheese is more pungent. And I'll put this over here so you can try it. This is a sheep's milk blue.
Oh.
Back in March, when France and the United States got in a little tiff about Roquefort,
mm-hmm.
and France, there was going to be a 300% tariff on Roquefort, which meant that if you bought Roquefort in the United States, it would cost about $60 a pound.
Oh.
since then, the tariff, they're kind of getting off the tariff. I don't think it's going to happen, but we had two cheesemakers pair up in Wisconsin, and this is, again, what I'm talking about, you know, the next generation of cheesemakers. They're thinking, what if? And those two cheesemakers are Tony Hook from Hook's Cheese in Mineral Point. You know, Tony and Julie have been making cheddars and blues for 30 years, and they paired up with Brenda Jensen, who I mentioned earlier, the sheep milk cheesemaker. So they're using Brenda's sheep's milk, and then Tony's making the blue at his factory in Mineral Point. To my knowledge, it's the only sheep's milk blue being made in Wisconsin.
Why, it's great.
If not the region. And the reason this is such a cool partnership is that, so they make the cheese, and then they split it in half. And Brenda takes her half and ages it in her caves in Westby.
Oh.
And then Tony takes his half and ages it in his aging facility in Mineral Point. So even though this is the same cheese made of the same milk, I predict they're going to taste a little bit differently. Brenda is actually marketing hers under the name Bohemian Blue. And I love this, love her label. This is how she describes it. For people with artistic or literary interests who disregard conventional standards of behavior.
I love it. Sounds like a perfect thing for Wisconsin Public Radio.
I love it. And then Tony, he's aging his out just a little bit more. He's going to have his available next week at the farmer's market in Madison. And he's going to call his Little Boy Blue. I think that's an awesome example of cheesemakers working together.
Someone wondered, is there any Pecorino? Is that correct?
Oh, yes. Yep. That's a
cheese made in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's a sheep's milk cheese. You know, I don't know of a true Pecorino style cheese being made in Wisconsin, but Brenda is making a really good aged cheese called Okooch Mountain, mm-hmm. and it does have the flavor profile of the Pecorino. It's got the flavor crystals in there, and that's really good too.
And where would you recommend? Or say, what let me rephrase this question that was written out here. What's the best aged cheddar in Wisconsin?
That's
really what this question is. What's the best aged cheddar?
Oh, they're trying to get me into trouble. you know, I work with almost every cheesemaker in the state of Wisconsin, so I don't know if I'm going to say the best, but one of my favorites is probably Hook's cheddar, who I mentioned before. Their 10 and 12 year cheddars are out of this world. And I have a scoop for you. In 2010, Tony's going to have a 15 year cheddar.
Oh, boy.
I was at his plant about a month ago, and he showed it to me on the shelf. And it's 14 years old now. And he said, you know, 15 years got a better ring to it. I'm going to wait.
Oh, man.
So I predict that's going to be pretty amazing.
And I wanted to mention there is an art. You've started an artisan cheese festival, which it's a ways down the road yet, but November 6th and 7th in Madison?
Yes. One of the reasons for starting my Wisconsin Cheese Originals organization was I really wanted to host a cheese festival. You know, it turns out that's actually a lot of work. I can see why why no one's done it before. But it's coming together nicely. We're going to have 2 days. We're going to have a Friday evening of Meet the Cheesemaker, where I'm hoping to have about 20 Wisconsin artists and cheesemakers come in, sample their wares. You know, we'll have butlered appetizers. It's at the Grand Terrace, the Monona Terrace. It'll be a great little shindig. And then Saturday, I'm going to offer some tours to cheese plants in the morning. In the afternoon, we're going to have a series of 6 educational and tasting seminars led by cheesemakers. And then in the afternoon, I'm partnering with Madison Original Restaurants to do a dine around, each hosting and featuring Wisconsin artisan cheesemaker.
Oh, boy. That sounds wonderful. Now, where are people going to find out more information on that?
Tickets are going to go on sale on that on August and September, and they can go to the Wisconsin Cheese Originals website. Everything will be available online.
So it's Wisconsin Cheese Originals mm-hmm. with an S.
Correct.
.com. And do you have something up yet, or is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're looking right at it. Right
now. Yeah. Here we are. Oh, sure. There it is. November 6th and 7th. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been really wonderful. And we've got all these questions that we haven't gotten to yet. So I hope, Jeannie, you'll come back.
Oh, sure.
Again.
It's always fun.
And we'll do this again. And for sure, before the festival, I want to have you back so we can talk more about cheese and promote this Artisan Cheese Festival, because it sounds wonderful to me.
Yeah, it's going to be great fun.
Thanks, Jeannie. Jeannie Carpenter of Oregon, Wisconsin, has been blogging about cheese for the past 3 years. He launched an organization called Wisconsin Cheese Originals. Go to that website, wisconsincheeseoriginals.com. And then her blog is cheeseunderground.com. Go to that blog for some really cool things about cheeses and her experiences and the experiences of a lot of other people as well. Who write about cheese and cheese making. That's cheeseunderground.com. That's something she does for fun. She doesn't get paid for it. She just does it because she loves cheese. And she really knows her stuff, doesn't she? It's great. Well, I tell you what, we're going to switch gears a little bit, quite a little bit, actually, and we're still food. We're still talking food. But now we're going to switch our attention to fine pastries and a career in pastry. Mary Pappas, owner of Alpha Delight's European Bakery and Cafe in De Pere, one of our guests, the other, Punky Egan, baking and culinary instructor in the state technical college system. Coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.